This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday, the 26th of September, 2013. Hello and a warm welcome to Winchester and District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 26th of September 2013, which this week has been edited by Kate Butler, Irene Dowding and Bill Argles. Now, I'm Peter Lydiard, your presenter for today, standing in for your usual presenter, Roy Faithful. Your readers today are Jane Harding.
Hello.
Noel Thorpe Tracy.
Hello.
And Richard Martin.
Hello.
Now, if you know of someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone Lynn Parker on 01962 862 826. That's 01962 862 826. If you'd like to skip to a particular item on the recording, you can press the forward button on the top of your Sapphire player to move on to another track. Well, first, let's have a look at some of the activities which might be of interest to you taking place in the next week or so. On the 8th of October at 8 p.m. at the Mayflower Theatre, Southampton, there's a show called Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance. You have to read that in American accent, don't you? Several concerts which might be of interest. On Saturday the 28th of September at 7:30 p.m, there's a concert entitled Vox Cordis at St John's Church, Northington, an evening of sacred and secular music with the London Chamber Choir. On Tuesday the 1st of October, there's a lunchtime concert in the Cathedral at 1 p.m, and it's Roger Owen on piano, and that's a free concert. Sunday the 6th of October, 7:30 p.m, the Thomas Wilkes Singers at St Paul's Church, Winchester, will have a concert including Greg Hasler and Schoenberg. Now, while in October, don't miss the next Chesil Theatre production, Transit of Venus, by Maureen Hunter, which is being performed from the 12th to the 19th of October. This is a play which explores faith, relationships, solitude and the human spirit. And I'll be there each night, being both stage manager and set designer. Right, lighting up times for the coming week. On Friday the 27th of September, the sun rose at 7 a.m. and will set at 6:53 p.m. On Wednesday the 2nd of October, lighting up time will end at 7:08 a.m. and begins again at 6:42 p.m. Our main headlines from the Hampshire Chronicle this week are backlash over plans to expand River Park, moved tenants will be compensated, and while we're on the subject of moving, Adult Education Centre could move. So, Jane, could we hear the story behind the first headline, please?
And the first headline is backlash over plans to expand River Park. Protest group formed to preserve parkland. Residents living near the River Park are furious that green space would be concreted over if plans to double the size of the leisure centre go ahead. They are set to vent their anger tonight, that was last night Thursday, at a public meeting over a replacement £25 million leisure centre on playing fields at River Park. People living in Hyde plan to attend the invitation-only meeting at Winchester Guildhall called to discuss the scheme. City Council chiefs have revealed a scheme for an 8,000 square metre complex, almost double the size of the existing facility, with a bigger gym, more swimming pool space and a larger 12-court sports hall. But it would mean the loss of the green open space currently used for football, cricket, frisbee, picnics and dog walking. Some trees may also be axed. Now a hastily formed Save the Park group has hit out, accusing the council of ripping out the heart and soul of one of Winchester's treasured open spaces. The group's Hazel Agambar, who is also a member of Winchester Friends of the Earth, said, "It is a lovely open space that is already well used by the local community, So to build over it and make it somewhere people have to pay for formal exercise seems ludicrous. Members of Save the Park want to keep the leisure centre's current location. The council estimates it would cost between £6 million and £7 million to revamp, with some modest improvements. The meeting in the Guildhall will outline the council's proposals, but it is invitation only for sports club and users of the centre. Mrs. Agambar said, "We have told people it is an open meeting, and if they get turned away, that is a message in itself about the strength of feeling that there is about it. A lot of people are hoping to have their say. I think the meeting could get extremely heated." The council plans to keep the existing leisure centre, which needs multi-million pound repairs, open during building work, estimated to take up to 2 years. Then the current building will be demolished to make way for a 300-space car park, more than twice the size of the existing one, and possibly new housing. The idea is the extra revenue could help pay building costs, as the cash-strapped council will have to borrow money to build the new centre. Other proposals include creating a one-way system so traffic could enter the site along Gordon Road and exit via Park Avenue. Council chiefs this week insisted no final decisions have been made. However, the Cabinet has already approved spending £100,000 on technical reports, including water drainage, transport and ecology surveys. Fit for the Future, an umbrella group of sports clubs, has been campaigning for a new leisure centre to be built at Bar End. It wants an Olympic-sized 50-metre pool for competitive swimming and a gymnastics hall. At present, the council is proposing to build a 10-lane 25-metre pool, plus a 20-metre teaching pool, hydrotherapy and rehabilitation pool. The local authority commissioned consultants, Savills, to look at two possible locations for a new building, River Park and Bar End. And this is accompanied by a photo of the existing River Park Leisure Centre, looking very modern but perhaps slightly tatty.
Right, the next one is moved tenants will be compensated. The civic chiefs have approved a new policy to compensate Winchester Council tenants whose homes are demolished as part of new developments. A City Council Housing Committee rubber-stamped a financial package at a meeting last Wednesday, which will see tenants receive a one-off statutory home loss payment of £4,700. The Council will also cover moving expenses to a new home, whether permanent or temporary. Displaced tenants will also get priority on alternative housing and will be offered a guaranteed place in the new development should they choose to stay in the area. It comes after housing bosses dropped plans to demolish and replace homes in Milland Road, Highcliffe, earlier this year after a resident complained. Andrew Palmer, head of New Homes Delivery, said, "This is partly in response to a reaction from councillors that our offer to tenants was not very clear. We are attempting to set out the whole package, both financially and in terms of relocation." But tenants who are forced to move face paying rents of 80% of market value in their new homes, regardless of what they paid before, which caused concern among some councillors. Councillor Jane Rutter said, "We are asking people to move into a smaller house in the same place as presumably they would not want to move if they had children in school. But then we are telling them that they have to pay more rent when their income may not have gone up. I think asking them to pay higher rents is not going to encourage people to support this. We need to make it as fair, easy and inexpensive as possible." But Mr. Palmer added that new homes would be built to better sustainability standards and cost less in energy bills.
I have a headline which reads, "Adult Education Centre could move. Row over ex-primary school building's use." Winchester's Adult Education Centre could move to new premises in Barton Farm, leaving a former primary school building standing empty. Peter Simmons College, which runs the Adult Education Centre in Stony Lane Week, has been negotiating with Cala, C-A-L-A, the developer of the 2,000-home estate on the Greenfield site, for a plot to build new premises. But now, Liberal Democrat opposition spokesman for adult services, Councillor Jackie Porter, has hit out at the County Council for failing to snap up the building to tackle the shortage of primary school places. The Adult Continuing Education Centre was previously Weak Infant School. Councillor Porter said, "What a waste of a good solid building. It already has a good school hall and playground space." Councillor Porter argued it would have been cheaper and easier to enlarge Winnell Primary School by expanding onto the Adult Continuing Education Centre than building a new primary school in car-clogged Fulford. The County Council is spending £7.6 million of public money building a new primary school at the Westgate in Fulford and £1.2 million expanding Winnell Primary School. Council Porter said that the four Liberal Democrat city councillors had asked officers to investigate whether the Adult Continuing Education Centre was available as one of the six sites considered for a new school. She said, "Hampshire County Council would have needed to pay for the site, but that would have been worthwhile because building costs would have been much lower." Councillor Peter Edgar, Executive Member for Education at the County Council, defended the council, saying, "At the time of the consultation and a decision about meeting the increased demand for school places in Winchester, we were clearly informed that Peter Simmons College had a continuing need for the building in Stony Lane. It was therefore not considered further as an option. That position was rechecked before decisions were progressed. The subsequent proposal by the college to relocate its adult education centre to Barton Farm has only recently come about and was not brought to Hampshire County Council's attention until our decisions were taken and progressed."
Thank you, Richard. Well, after those headline stories, we'll continue with death notices. Now, there is no Christian comment this week, so we follow that with letters to the editor, Your Say, Historical Items, Chronicle Comment, Westminster Diary, and First Person. So first, we have the death notices, and Jane will start us off, please.
June. Margaret Hildebone, formerly of Fairfield Road, Winchester, peacefully on the 23rd of September, aged 87.
Fisher. Doreen Joy Fisher, née Crockford, suddenly after a short illness, 23rd of September, aged 81.
Gillings. Elizabeth Mary Gillings, née Abbott, suddenly after a long illness, 19th of September.
Mahoney. Peggy Grace Mahoney, formerly the Forge Twyford, 11th of September, aged 101.
Mackenzie. Robert William Prentice Mackenzie, peacefully at home, 18th of September, aged 85.
Pink. Marion Sylvia Pink, née Thomas, peacefully after a short illness.
Shears. Diana Shears, née Penny, peacefully on the 24th of September, aged 78.
Shergold. Eileen Joyce Shergold, née Rose, 6th of September, aged 93.
Starkey. Roy Starkey, former deputy head of Montgomery of Alamein School, Winchester, peacefully 20th of September, aged 89.
Streeter, Maureen Joan Streeter, formerly of Culverton Road and Lawn House, peacefully 19th of September, aged 94.
Temple, Grenville Temple, 8th Earl Temple of Stowe, on the 17th of September.
Well, we now have letters to the editor, which are overwhelmingly about the replacement of the leisure centre. So, Jane, could you start us off on those, please?
And the first letter is from Michael Hall and is headed "Destroying a Treasured Open Space." Sir, I believe that to redevelop much of Northwall's recreation ground to accommodate a much expanded River Park leisure centre would be to rip out the heart and soul of one of Winchester's treasured open spaces. Let's think what would be given up. This isn't just a cricket pitch. This is where people walk their dogs, where Winchester gets together for fireworks night, where Park Run congregates every Saturday. No fireworks in North Wall's rec means no torchlight procession, all for a bigger swimming pool. I used to live in Monk's Road, although now I am even closer into town, and I can't begin to imagine the additional traffic that will pour into Gordon Road and the surrounding streets. I'm sure the residents of Hyde will not be too happy about the thought of what will happen to house prices in their neighbourhood. Winchester clearly does need additional provision for sports facilities, and this is not an not-in-my-backyard letter. I simply believe that the site is wholly unsuitable for what is to be based there. I urge the City Council to think about this once again. And that is from Michael Wall, North Walls, Winchester, and is accompanied by a photo of the stream and the river in the river park at Winchester with a weeping willow tree reflected in the water.
And here's a very angry letter from Julian Chisholm. Sir, in your September the 12th issue, you reported that the City Council proposes to build a new leisure centre on a very beautiful and well-used cricket ground in an important urban park, the River Park Recreation Ground. This proposal is atrocious, scandalous, and driven by expediency. It's worse than Barton Farm. It's like building a hypermarket in Hyde Park. It seems that the proposal is driven by using the land occupied by the existing leisure centre to provide a 300-space car park. A common eyesore in and around Winchester is land covered by cars and tarmac. If really needed, a one- or two-storey car park, sensitively designed on the existing car park, would be far better, as simply there would be no eyesore. I am sure it would be cost-effective. It would mean River Park wasn't vandalised for us and future generations. Further, the need for more swimming capacity should be accommodated by a second pool on the other side of the city. The council's stupidity in moving forward its leisure centre proposal is incomprehensible. It is completely out of touch with those it is meant to be serving. This proposal should be withdrawn immediately and with an undertaking that will not be resurrected. Once this happens, alternative and more imaginative proposals can be considered. Readers, irrespective of political affiliation, must do everything legitimate to save the wreck, starting with the public meeting on the proposal in the Guildhall tonight. That was Thursday, at 7:30 p.m. Julian Chisholm, Arthur Road, Hyde, Winchester.
My letter is headed, No Easy Answers on Bus Services. Sir, re Ossulbury's buses, I have every sympathy for villagers, but we must not overlook the fact that this service also serves Compton Street, and having travelled through Twyford and Shawford, it then serves Sainsbury's Badger Farm and Woodfield Drive. While these areas are served by other services, Compton folk have to walk down the street to access the Blue Star services. As transport representative for Twyford for many years, I have watched this service alter. I have, as part of my duties, also used it to check on loadings. While I would like to have seen it continue as a five-day operation, I understand Hampshire County Council's problems. I can't comment on the school service, as I do not know how many non-school passengers used it. Certainly, pensioners would not have been able to travel on the morning service. That's from Ian C.J. Wheeler of Churchfields, Twyford.
And this letter from David Griffiths is headed, Park is already our leisure centre. Sir, the plan to build a new leisure centre on the nearby cricket field and turn the existing site into a huge car park is an appalling idea. This is a beautiful open space near the centre of the city that would be completely ruined by being concreted over. This park already is our leisure centre. It's constantly used for cricket, football, kite flying, picnics, etc. The cricket pitch is at the heart of the green space. A huge building there would make all the related areas feel cramped. It's a great feeling to walk across that field and sense the open sky above you. We have too few such places in Winchester. Our council sometimes appears to resemble the Burglar Bill character from children's books. That's a nice green field with no buildings on it. I'll have that. I don't understand why we even need a new leisure centre. Is the current one really that oversubscribed? Refurbishing the existing one would seem an adequate solution. Please reconsider this dreadful plan. And that was David Griffiths, Monk's Road, Hyde in Winchester.
and a plaintive plea from James McConaughey. Sir, when I told my daughter the council planned to build on her favourite grass, whose sheer space fills her with what I can only describe as a wild joy, she said, "But fields are for growing things, and where will I play?" She is 3 1/2 and has instantly grasped the problem with this crass proposal. River Park has been eaten away at for years. Once the remaining green space is further reduced and divided, its spirit will be gone for ever. This precious space should be held in trust for future generations as the inalienable heart of our city, as vital to our community as High Street and Cathedral. As for the council's protest that it is only shifting the leisure centre, not expanding it, I say this: if we cannot save this green field, what hope will there be for the brownfield site left behind? We all want better facilities. The choice is between temporarily closing the leisure centre while it is rebuilt, or forever losing the green heart of our city. My daughters talk to old people in River Park. They pet strangers' dogs. They watch butterflies and birds. They see people playing sport in the open air and are inspired. They need this space more than any of us needs an extra squash court or bigger changing room. And if we're to survive as a real community, we'll need their joy. James McConaughey, Egbert Road, Hyde, Winchester.
And on a similar theme, someone seems to have a solution. Use Bar End and protect our park. Sir, is anyone looking holistically at plans for River Park Leisure Centre? I'm willing to believe the current building is energy hungry and ready for renewal. It is not beautiful. It could look better in its lovely parkland setting. However, this seems not to be on the cards. Instead, a far bigger building is required, possibly for the Olympic legacy. Then, far more parking will be required, so everyone wanting to get fit can drive there. And since traffic in Parchment Street was reversed, that'll be 300 more cars driving around the one-way system. I thought the Fit for the Future plans for Bar End were overblown, but they make more sense if the centre must be that size. While affordable housing is needed, Bar End is not an ideal site, being too peripheral and too close to motorway noise. But if the new leisure centre could be there and the River Park could be given over to housing, that would be neat. Bar End Leisure Centre would be served by 2 park and rides, needing less parking on site, and the acres now covered by building and tarmac at River Park could be used for homes adjoining Hyde, a desirable area. The park would be protected. Yes, the water table is high, but foundations could be piled, and with gardens and sustainable urban drainage, there could be better runoff than currently. Parking provision could be minimal for such a central location. St Peter's Car Park, originally bought by Winchester City Council out of housing department funds, should also finally be used for housing, and the two sites designed together. Meanwhile, I'm still wondering where the table tennis tables we were promised went to. That's the Olympic legacy I want, says Judith Martin of Romsey Road, Winchester.
And a slightly different view from Kate Davies and Anne Bristow. Oh. Give us a centre to make us proud. Sir, why should the elite swimmers be the only ones who want a longer pool? Please, Winchester, think big. The population is growing and we have 2 universities and a campus in the city. Let's have a sports centre of which we can be proud. We septuagenarians would also love the facility of a longer swim. And that was Kate Davies and Anne Bristow of Keats Close, Oliver's Battery.
And now a change of subject, but one that produces an equal amount of spleen. Boomtown left a lot to be desired. From Michael Beer. Sir, a response is required to Chris Cowan's letter in the issue of September the 12th. Firstly, the thousands who come to the South Downs National Park and the local community are the majority, and not the people who attend Boomtown. Secondly, the management left much to be desired, with traffic congestion, arrests, theft, drugs and breaches of conditions. Thirdly, the mention of 35,000 attendees is significantly more than the licence permits, and hence a breach of the licence. Fourthly, perhaps Mr. Cowan could provide his address so that arrangements could be made to play loud music for 4 days and nights in his back garden. I am pleased his daughters had a good time. Sadly, this cannot be said for the young woman who died, and all those arrested for drugs and many other offences. Michael Beer, Cheriton.
A quirky letter here, perhaps somebody can help. Phantom Hedges fooled Luftwaffe. Sir, I read with great interest your article about Marwell Hall during the Second World War. While working at Marwell a few years ago, I talked to a man who told the same story, but there was another clever idea. It seems the hedges were removed, but replaced by artificial ones on wheels or rollers. So when a plane needed to land, they were rolled back and then replaced to appear as normal farmland. It would be interesting to know exactly where the runway was, says Roger Street of Marcus Close, Fair Oak, Eastleigh.
And from Jeff Naylor, we have insect workers set fine example. Sir, the world's workers are more to blame than governments for the crisis in living standards. They should take an example from other societies of workers, the ants and the bees. What ant or bee brings back poison or malnutrition to its nest or hive? And what would happen if they did try and succeed? Why, then, do human workers produce harmful things and worthless services? And that was from Jeff Naylor, Birch Close, Colden Common.
Maureen Treadwell says, 20 is plenty in Chil Bolton. Sir, thank you for highlighting the 20 is plenty campaign in Chil Bolton. We live in Coley Lane, which is probably one of the worst black spots for fast traffic. We've had a cat killed by a speeding motorist, and I've twice had elbows clipped by the wing mirrors of drivers who think they can drive past a cyclist and oncoming car simultaneously. While the latter is more a poor driving issue, I think the speed restriction will focus minds and probably improve driving standards overall. Now Wiltshire County Council has adopted 20 mile an hour speed limits. I hope Hampshire will do the same as a matter of urgency. Maureen Treadwell, Chil Bolton, Stockbridge.
And now back to a familiar theme. This letter is entitled, Crude Clunky Plan Will Devastate Park. Sir, the proposal to relocate River Park Leisure Centre to the adjoining cricket pitch is crude and clunky and will devastate the park's sense of spaciousness. A more elegant and space-efficient solution would be to make better use of the island site upon which the centre currently sits. The key lies in bringing into play the vacant and wasted space south of the Outdoors Bowls Club. This could be a new site for the Indoor Bowls Club, mini football pitch and skateboard park, freeing up the substantial area adjacent to the current leisure centre. The new centre could then be progressively built on a modular basis from this site westwards. The result would be a far better use of available land and no loss to the pleasing expanse of the main body of the park. Thus thinks Edward Fennell of Egbert Road, Hyde.
Thank you. Now, if you'd like to contact the Hampshire Chronicle, you can ring 01962 860836. That is 01962 860836. Or you can email news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk. You can also write to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Well, now, we have a feature, Your Say, where the Hampshire Chronicle asks four members of the public on this week's topic, does the coalition government's claims of an economic recovery ring true? And one is a lady called Sharon Bruty, 43, publican of Loveton Lane, Kingsworthy. And she said, I have noticed that people do seem to be going out more. I think Winchester is a bit of a bubble, though, because the economic decline took a while to get here.
And Christopher Arnold, 76, retired of Bygent Close, Winchester, said, I do think we are seeing a recovery and all the signs from industry are positive. It's slow, But we were left with a total mess.
And Norman Wood, 67, non-executive director of Church Lane Sparshot, says, "Yes, banks are starting to lend more, and I work for a company that is developing a good relationship with its bank. You look around and you see all the car parks are full in the shopping centres."
This is from a smiling Cathy Maybe, 56, administrator of Poets Way, Winchester. "We're probably seeing a recovery, but it doesn't feel that different to me personally. Some of the cutbacks have been difficult, but I work in retail and we have been busy."
Thank you. Well, now on to historical items. We're going to start with 25 years ago from Jane, please.
And 25 years ago, it was September the 23rd, 1988. Proposal to close Kingsgate to cars. "The county councillor in whose ward the Kingsgate archway lies has given a cautious welcome to the city council's proposals to close it. In a letter to Winchester's chief engineer, Mr. Harvey Cole agrees that an experiment to implement the proposals should go ahead, but believes the period should be for 12 months instead of the intended 18. This will enable changes in flows on other roads to be assessed. It may be that additional traffic will not be as great as the volume removed from the Kingsgate area. Just as we have painfully come to recognise that expanding road capacity tends to generate more traffic to take it up, so reducing capacity has been known to reduce total flows in an area." The second item from 25 years ago is about the Hampshire Police Authority, who this week decided against operating a pilot scheme of identity cards for use in licensed premises to show a holder is aged 18 years or over. But they did agree with a proposal by magistrate member Mrs. Dorothy Stock to review the matter in 6 months' time. The chief constable, Mr. John Hodginott, was strongly against the scheme because it would not, he said, be practical for police to engage in vetting and registering card holders. He also thought the proper place for the matter to be put through was Parliament.
And here's one item from 50 years ago, September the 28th, 1963. The headline is "Nauseating Fumes of Giant Lorries." "Sir, every day the centre of Winchester is enveloped in the nauseating fumes of giant lorries. The buildings are shaken by their ear-splitting roar as, together with queues of cars, they negotiate their hazardous way through the city. The situation is building up rapidly from chaos to impossibility as day after day the traffic stretches further and further back towards St. Cross and clogs the town's narrow roads. We are promised a link road off the end of the bypass to join up with the Newbury Road, which would undoubtedly divert most of the heavy traffic. When will this materialise, I wonder?"
I have two items from 100 years ago, 27th of September, 1913. The first one is headed "Woman Charged with Bigamy." Winchester City Bench, charge of bigamy. Louisa MacLeod, a respectably dressed young woman residing in Tower Street, Winchester, was charged by warrant with bigamously marrying Albert Hurley on February the 25th at the registry office, Woolwich. Her husband, Walter John MacLeod, to whom she was married on January the 27th, 1907, being alive. The head constable applied for remand for a week. Prisoner was only arrested that Tuesday morning at 10:30, and there was certain evidence to be got from London. And my second item, his Christmastide festivity. Jazz Cannon, an old man, who has often appeared in the police court, was brought up on warrant, charged with having been drunk in the High Street, Winchester, on Christmas Eve 1912. A constable found defendant drunk and staggering about the High Street at 7:50 and took him to the police station. The following morning, the head constable, Mr. J. Sim, let him out on bail so that he might attend the old people's Christmas dinner. This defendant did, but he never surrendered on his bail to explain why he commenced his festivities so early as Christmas Eve.
And the last historical item is from 200 years ago, and there are two items from September the 27th, 1813. And the first bit is entitled Encouragement to the Chronicle. To the subscribers of the Hampshire Chronicle, an outline of the plan for the future management of this paper being already before the public, the proprietors have now only to express their grateful acknowledgements for the very flattering encouragement and kind assistance already afforded them, and they trust that their efforts to secure a punctual discharge of their duty in every department of the undertaking will merit the approbation and receive the support of the inhabitants in general of this extensive and opulent country. The second item is a bit more international. From the French and Dutch coast, reports have been received, all concurring in the statement that Bonaparte had sustained a great defeat. One rumour says that Bonaparte escaped from Dresden with only 12,000 men and that he had returned to Paris. Another, that Dresden has fallen to the Allies. Other letters have come to some great houses in the city which agree the main facts. The Bonaparte had joined Ney with reinforcements and immediately attacked what he contemptuously called the Insurrection Army near Jüterbog. The battle is said to have been the most bloody of this murderous campaign, and to have ended in his total defeat and flight at the head of 12,000 guards in the direction of Magdeburg, being cut off from the road to Dresden. Well, that's the end of the historical items. We now come on to Christian... No, we don't. We come into Chronicle comment, beg your pardon. Now, surprise, surprise, this is about the Leisure Centre, and it's going to be read by Noel.
Yes, and the Hampshire Chronicle is throwing its considerable weight behind the protests. It says, "Neighbours have a stake in this too. When residents are up in arms about Winchester City Council building a bigger and better leisure centre, it is clear something has gone wrong. Civic chiefs have gone public with their plan to build an 8,000 square metre complex on a playing field next to the existing building at River Park. But it has come like a bolt out of the blue for stunned locals who enjoy the recreation ground as a place to walk their dogs, play frisbee or just sit on a bench. The root of the row is partly lack of public consultation. Even though the council has called a public meeting, it is invitation only for sports clubs and users of the leisure centre. But residents in Hyde are stakeholders. It is their local park and neighbourhood which could change dramatically. Indeed, everyone who pays council tax is a stakeholder. The real problem, it appears, is the council doesn't seem to realise the value people place on green open spaces. Only last week, the Hampshire Chronicle reported how residents in Abbots Barton had to battle to save their local park from being developed for council housing. Clearly, the option of revamping River Park Leisure Centre in its current location needs to be thoroughly examined. It could just save the park.
Well, first person this week is, surprise, surprise, also about the Leisure Centre, and read today by Jane.
Yes, Ronald Allison is writing, "Just where do we park the Leisure Centre?" And this is remembering that the meeting was actually on the day that the Hampshire Chronicle came out, Thursday. So, here we are again, bang in the middle of the political party conference season. We've already had the Lib Dems, UKIP, and if you noticed, the Greens. And as I write, Labour are underway in Brighton. Cue photo opportunity for Ed Miliband with wife and children on the seafront. The Conservatives will then bring the season to an end and normal political service will be resumed. For many of us, nothing will have changed. But each party's faithful will, if all has gone according to plan, be reinvigorated and ready for the upcoming local and European elections of 2014. Then, of course, there's the big one the following year. That will be very much the focus of attention. It is tempting to compare these political battles with football's Premier League. The analogies are obvious until, that is, we think of the desire of the top teams to get into Europe. Now, that most definitely is not every British politician's ambition. It seems pretty certain that Europe will be well up the list of contentious issues in 2015. in or out, renegotiate or not, hold a referendum. All on the table with, by then, those Scots deemed eligible to vote, having decided whether or not to remain part of the United Kingdom. It could be an extremely confusing year at both national and international levels. Locally, well, Winchester City Council has to decide how, where and when to redevelop the River Park Leisure Centre. And at the moment, where is definitely the question causing the most controversy. On the splendid tree-lined open parkland just beyond the present site? Elsewhere on River Park, at Bar End, or is there any other viable alternative? From my anecdotal experience over the past few days, there are not that many people who do not have a view. It should mean that the Council's public consultation meeting in the Guild Hall this evening will be a lively affair. As a resident living very nearby, I am genuinely uncertain. As a family, we have enjoyed both the park and its environs on almost a daily basis for over 16 years. At various times, we have used River Park Leisure Centre for just about everything, from creepy crawlies to post-operative physiotherapy. I admit that I would love a new state-of-the-art leisure centre, but I want to keep the park. I know, come off the fence. Perhaps this evening will at least leave us better informed.
Thank you. The next item is not about the leisure centre. It's actually Westminster Diary, written this week by Steve Bryan, who's the MP for Winchester and Chalmers Ford. Read by Richard, please.
The past few weeks have given me an opportunity to speak about two subjects I remain passionate about. Early intervention and the big society. Home Start Winchester is a great organisation, a national charity with a local focus making a real difference to the lives of families I represent. It was such a pleasure to address their AGM recently, and I spoke about the critical importance of early intervention and the stunning impact it can have on the life chances of children. Working as I do so much in the area of criminal justice policy, I see all too often what happens when state failure reaches the prisoner state, and it's such a terrible waste. If you're interested to find out more about this and even watch a short film, my web page at www.stevebryan.com/homestart. No, sorry, that can't be right. Come in. Home Start. Excuse me. Is a good place to start. Home Start, owing to its strong volunteer base, is, of course, the big society with bells on. And it was such a great opportunity to address the City of Winchester Trust AGM on Monday of this week under the title Winchester's Big Society. The premise of my argument is that we're strong here, not just because we have more than 500 local charities, which we do, but because we have so many people prepared to do their bit, and the Trust is a pretty good example of that. We can be cynical about the big society message, but it's to our detriment if we are. The common good, like the big society, is a very old idea that has rather fallen out of favour in recent years. But essentially it's about how we, left or right, religious or secular, can find common ground working for the benefit of our communities. And where that works, as here, I think that's to be celebrated. My full speech is via www.stevebryan.com/big society, if you're keen. Elsewhere, I don't think my role has ever demanded more energy from me than it is right now. As I write, the Worthies Festival is in full swing, and it was good to support the organisers by opening the King's Worthy Fete last weekend and taking part in their impressive civic Sunday service at St Mary's. And for the seventh consecutive year now, it was great fun on Saturday to join my local student society at the University of Winchester and welcome this year's freshers to the city. Finally, I know a great number of my constituents will have been delighted to hear the government announcement last week that pupils in Year R, 1 and 2 at local schools are to get free school lunches from next September. This will save us parents about £400 a year per child and is very welcome. You can catch up on all my work locally and in Parliament at www.stevebryan.com, or you can call 01962 791110.
Well, those are the regular features chosen for you this week. We now have a look at the items of general news, starting with Jane, please.
The first item of general news is the Worthies Festival. A week-long village festival kicked off in style last weekend. The 2013 Worthies Festival began with a church fete on Saturday in Kingsworthy, when hundreds of people turned out at St Mary's Church Green, despite grey skies, to enjoy a variety of stalls and entertainment, including performances by the Hook Eagle Morris Men and modern dance by Dance Up. Events continued throughout the week, including a village quiz, history exhibitions, coffee mornings, and a finale this Sunday, September the 29th, featuring a dog show, football tournament and fireworks. Jane Rutter, chairman of the festival steering group and City Council ward member for Kingsworthy, said, "It's a huge relief to get here after all the planning, and I think we're going to have a fabulous week. There's a huge buzz around the villages, as there really is something for everyone at this festival." Kingsworthy Primary School also got involved, with an open morning on Tuesday, coinciding with its 60th anniversary. Year 6 pupils welcomed guests, including former pupils and staff, and took them on tours to see how the school had changed. Teacher Lynn Keeble said, "It's been great to be part of the community and the celebrations of the village." Elsewhere, residents enjoyed a tea dance yesterday, Wednesday, at the church hall, while there was also a village mosaics tour. It is the second time the biannual event has taken place and focuses on the villages of Kingsworthy, Headbourneworthy and Abbotsworthy. There is even more to come, with a film festival, football tournament, fun run, dog show and fireworks finale. And this, of course, is accompanied by a whole collection of photographs of events from the festival. The Reverend Alan Gordon in stocks, little children playing circus skills, Steve Bryan opening it with his dog Popcorn, people rowing, and a dance performance by Dance Up in front of huge crowds.
And news of another celebration, celebrating the harvest at the cathedral. Winchester Cathedral and Close is to host this year's Hampshire Harvest Celebrations next month, October the 5th to the 6th, with workshops, children's activities, crafts and farm vehicles. New this year is a Make a Scarecrow competition, inviting families to make their own scarecrow at home and bring it along for a chance to win a prize. Sunday's celebrations will see a steel band and a large fairground organ, finishing with special County Harvest Festival service at 3:30 p.m. Attending will be Mike Smales from the award-winning local farm making Lyburn Cheese, Jeff Morgan, chairman of New Forest Show, and Chris Cook from Winters Hill Estates, talking to TV presenter Alistair Stewart, covering some of the challenges which face the farming community. The celebrations will be held between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m.
This item is headed Victorian Glasshouse Boom. An Arsford business is riding the crest of the boom in Victorian-style structures. Griffin Glasshouses from Ropley took its latest retro designs to an international exhibition in London this week. The firm's domestic garden glasshouse was the centrepiece of its stand at the landscape show at Battersea Park on Tuesday and Wednesday. Linda Lane, managing director, said, "Over the past 3 years, the demand for Victorian-style glasshouses has grown dramatically. They now account for more than half of all sales. Although they may look Victorian, they are thoroughly 21st century in design and maintenance." To ensure accuracy, technical director Paul Smith has visited original Victorian glasshouses at stately homes throughout the UK. All glass houses are produced at the factory on Brighton Hill. 6 people are employed there. And there's a picture of the managing director, Linda Lane, and her technical director in a workshop.
And now Hugh clears his final hurdle over Eatery. Celebrity chef Hugh Fernley Whittingstall has cleared the final hurdle in his effort to set up a Winchester restaurant. Residents had been considering a legal challenge after City Council planners approved changing the use of the historic Abbey Mill from offices to a restaurant. But now the plan for a judicial review by Colebrook Street residents has been dropped because of the expense, meaning the chef's firm, River Cottage, can press ahead with its plans. Resident Guy Ashton of Colebrook Street said, "I'm not prepared to risk the significant expense required to take this further, and remain disappointed by the council's lack of willingness to engage with residents with anything other than belligerence. It has felt like we're dealing with a council that sees local residents as an enemy to whom no quarter can ever be given." Mr. Ashton said he sent a letter to the council outlining points he felt could be considered in a judicial review, but that the council refuted each point in its reply. He added, "Now that it's all done, I look forward to River Cottage as a neighbour and wish them every success in their venture. But I would always feel that the City Council has handled the whole matter in a needlessly brutal fashion, leaving me and many of my neighbours feeling bruised and alienated." A council planning committee made the decision in June and also approved structural improvements to the site.
And more controversy over the Kingsworthy Road improvements. Shock over cost of junction works. Plans to fix a dangerous junction near Winchester could cost £3 million, according to a county councillor. Kingsworthy residents have been calling for changes at the London Road, Loveden Lane junctions with the A33 after several accidents over the past year. But concerns are being raised over the cost by Councillor Jackie Porter. She said county officers quoted the £3 million sum for plans to rebuild a roundabout at the junction. Councillor Porter said the county council has plucked this figure out of the air. Nobody wants to turn it into an urban environment. We want to keep the original plan, which is to make it easier for walkers as well as motorists. One idea popular with the locals is to ban vehicles from turning right and get them to turn left and go up to a roundabout at the junction with the B3047 road, as the county owns most of the land there already. The last time this was mentioned, officers said it would cost £500,000. She added, "This is a very important project, but £3 million is a ridiculous amount of money, as there are more dangerous areas in Hampshire that need £3 million more than this does." Sarah White, chairman of Kingsworthy Parish Council, said, "I'm rather surprised at that figure. We had a meeting in May, and at that time officers were only saying there was £17,000 available for the junction. We thought that was derisory and asked them to go away and come up with a more sensible answer. I would not have thought that £3 million is a feasible solution. We're looking for a reasonable solution to an increasingly dangerous junction, but we do not want to over-urbanise the area."
Well, and planning issues seem to be our theme for the day, don't they? This item is headed Winnell Block Could House 250 Students. Images have been released of a proposed development for student accommodation in Winnell. The 250-bedroom block was designed by Winchester-based firm Architecture PLB, following instructions from town planners Neame Sutton and developers Geoffrey Osborne Limited at the Wickham Industrial Estate in Moorside Road. Paul Conway of Winchester-based Architecture PLB said the size of the building was needed to justify the planned 24-hour management service. It includes kitchens serving 7 to 9 people, as well as ensuite studios and a landscaped courtyard. Mr. Conway said, "There is a model used by Winchester University based on flat clusters which we've developed. The links to Erasmus Park was a big factor, but being open to the countryside was also an important factor to the scheme." The developers say the scheme will ease the ongoing issue of limited affordable housing in the city in places such as Stanmore and Winnell, which has seen scores of family homes converted into flats.
And this one is Lou takes a deep breath for epic swim. A woman has swum the channel to raise money for good causes. Mother of two, Lou Walker, 51, from Swarriton near Alresford, battled the tides in a relay swim across the English Channel for three Hampshire charities, raising over £7,000 so far for Home Start Winchester and Districts, Friends of the Hampshire County Youth Orchestra, and Wellbeing of Women. Mrs. Walker and her team, the Seabrook Space Cadets, set off from Dover and arrived in Vissant in France in a time of 17 hours, 12 minutes. Fellow swimmers Keith Cummings, Joe Bainham, Ali Bunkiewicz, Sarah Pascoe and Gary Butcher from Bournemouth rotated every hour with Mrs. Walker. The tough conditions meant she had to swim three times, the final time in the dark. Mrs. Walker, a sports massage therapist and endurance coach at Winchester Athletics Club, said, "It was much, much harder than any of us expected, even though we knew the spring tides would hamper us. We swam each hour as fast as we possibly could, which made our last hour, when the conditions had worsened and the currents were strongest, very daunting, because you're already exhausted. In my last hour, I was being pushed sideways at 4.7 knots and backwards towards England. My job was to make sure we weren't pushed back and to try to get us into more sheltered water. I just managed to break through the current in the last 5 minutes after being tossed around like a cork for an hour." She added, "It was a huge team effort. We all worked so hard all the way across, but were determined to succeed for each other, our charities and our supporters." Mrs. Walker trained by swimming in the sea throughout the winter without a wetsuit to help her withstand the cold water in the channel for long periods. And it is accompanied not only by a photo of a very relieved-looking Mrs. Walker climbing out to a ship, but also the route across the channel, which is an extremely zigzag affair going from one side to the other, in a sort of Z shape.
Exhibition remembers World War II hero. The heroism of World War II American bomber pilot will be remembered in Alresford 70 years on. Ray and Hilary Cornford have put up a display in the town library about the act of courage by Captain Robert Cogswell on September the 26th, 1943. Captain Cogswell flew his stricken B-17 Flying Fortress away from the town, crashing the aircraft near to Old Alresford Pond. He bailed out at the last minute, but was so low that he injured his back and never flew again in World War II. He died on active service in the Korean War. The display in the library on Broad Street features artefacts from the bomber, including bullets and bits of the engine, photos, and a reproduction of the plane's tail display made by Tim Barnes of Odeon. The display will only be on show until next Monday morning, September the 30th. Mr. Cornford, 76, of Kiln Lane, Old Alresford, said, "It's 70 years on and there are not many people left who will remember it, so we thought we would jog people's memories a bit. We felt something should be done before it fades away from living memory. If Captain Cogswell had not done what he did, the plane might have landed on the town. It was carrying a bombload of 10 500-pound bombs and was heavy with fuel. One of the members of the Lady Luck flying crew is still alive. Eddie Deerfield is 90 and living in Florida."
This is a story that hit the national headlines. Shoppers evacuated in chemical leak. Hundreds told to leave retail park after people taken ill. Hundreds of shoppers and staff were forced to evacuate one of Hampshire's biggest shopping centres after a chemical leak made people fall ill. Shoppers at Hedge End Retail Park were instructed to leave their trolleys and file out into the car park after people began complaining of runny eyes and breathing problems. Police cordoned off a 60-yard exclusion zone at the out-of-town retail park in Tolbar Way, Hedge End, which was packed with shoppers. Officers also barred people from entering as fears grew over the nature of what was classed as a major incident. With mystery surrounding the cause of the symptoms, Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service deployed its hazardous material unit, which is usually used to deal with industrial spills. As people streamed out of Sainsbury's and Marks and Spencer, ambulance crews sorted out those displaying symptoms. A total of 62 people were wrapped in blue blankets after being told to queue up in front of a special decontamination tent where ambulance crews carried out tests. And we have a picture of a large ambulance and people with blue blankets and indeed the tent itself. After this, they were treated at the zone in one of the dozen ambulances. Wearing special breathing equipment and protective clothing, fire officers then entered the deserted store to pinpoint the source of the mystery leak. Last Tuesday night, Mark Larrimore, station commander for Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service, said the alarm was raised shortly after 5 p.m. and that leak had been sourced to a freezer containing frozen food inside the Sainsbury's store. He said the appliances within the store have a refrigerant chemical inside. It was what we suspect to be a small amount of leakage from one of the units. Both stores were full when we turned up with our officers, and police officers went in and removed everyone with the help of staff. We moved everyone out of the main entrance, which is away from the store and upwind.
And this one is Village 10K brings in cash for good causes. More than 500 people turned out in vests, shorts and numbered bibs for this year's Hursley 10K run that saw record-breaking times for many in the autumn sun. In its seventh year, hundreds flocked to the Hampshire village to take part in the 10K, 5K and fun runs, with many people running to raise money for charity. Event organiser Joanna Curtis said, "The course was a bit muddy, but there were no complaints about this from our resilient runners. The money that we raise is going to be distributed between local causes, the Friends of John Keble School, the Hursley Beavers Group, Shepherdstown School in Compton, the Hursley Village website and the Hursley Village Community Group." More than 180 runners took part in this year's fun run, including children from Mountbatten School in Romsey who dressed as characters from the Harry Potter films to raise money for the Royal Hampshire County Hospital Children's Ward. Also running the 10K were staff from the Winchester-based marketing company Rooster Digital, who joined in to raise awareness and funds for Amy Barnum, a 17-year-old from Alsford who was born with a rare form of brain damage. And this is accompanied by various photos of the runners looking relieved to have finished the race, including the winner, Matt King, and 5-year-old Brooke Sudderby helping to hand out the medals.
Angus is in fine voice for contest. A Winchester youngster is hoping to hit all the right notes when he competes in a national competition. Angus Armstrong, 12, is a chorister at Winchester College and has been selected for the final of the BBC Young Chorister of the Year competition. Competing against boys from all over the country, he has reached the final of 4 boys who will battle it out for the title. Angus will sing at St Martin in the Fields in London on Monday, October the 28th, and the programme will be aired by BBC Radio 2. He said, "It's really cool that I'm in the BBC final. I love singing, so I will just go along and do my best." Winchester College has a proven track record in the competition with 3 previous winners. Currently studying at the Pilgrim School in Winchester, Angus was formerly a pupil at St Faith's School before being accepted as a chorister at Winchester College. He is now joint head chorister and rehearses daily with Director of Chapel Music, Malcolm Archer. Mr Archer said, "Angus is a very musical boy who loves his singing, and this achievement is richly deserved. We will all be there at St Martin's on October the 28th to support him and cheer him on." The boys sing 4 services each week during term time and continue a 600-year-old tradition of choristers singing at the college. Winchester is the only public school in England which maintains its ancient choral foundation, and the boys receive bursary support towards their education. And there's a lovely picture of Angus standing in front of a whole crowd of young choir boys, and there he is with his fair hair and blue eyes and big smile, looking the very image of the classic English choir boy.
And I'm looking at a photograph of 4 young people, 2 boys, 2 girls, smiling and looking very pleased with themselves. And they have all of them medals around their necks. And the story is entitled Simmons Students Ski to Gold. Peter Simmons College's first ever ski team won gold in the mixed team category at the English Schools Ski Association National Championship held at Southampton Alpine Centre. The team, who included George Allen, Sam Williams, Eleanor Goss and Antonia Pretty, were amongst 160 races from 42 South of England schools and colleges competing at the event. With a combined time of 67.22 seconds, the Simmons squad won the mixed team category and also finished overall as the fourth fastest team, only 5.68 seconds behind winners Reeds A Boys. There were some very strong individual performances, said Coach Pam Hearsome, on a tricky course that saw a lot of missed gates and disqualifications. None of our team was disqualified.
And this one is Big Sleep Out raises awareness of homeless. Hundreds of Winchester residents slept rough last weekend to raise awareness for homeless charities. Almost 200 people took part in the Big Sleep Out organised by Trinity Winchester and Winchester Church's night shelter last Friday night. They gathered on the green in Cathedral Close, building shelters out of cardboard or tucking up in their sleeping bags, raising money for both charities. Jessica Wheel, fundraising manager at Trinity, said the event was very successful, with some participants raising thousands of pounds. She said, "Everyone enjoyed themselves and it was a great atmosphere. The big difference here is that we are all going back to a hot shower so we can get through it. But we need to raise awareness for the people who do it every night and don't have that option." Trinity trustee Peter North added, "I don't think one can really know how it feels to be sleeping rough, and even through doing it for one night like this gives one some idea. It really makes you think about the realities of the situation." Peter Simmons College students, Georgia Benton and Nina Jones, took part for the first time and won a prize for Best Design Cardboard Shelter. Miss Jones, 16, from Southampton, said, "We both did a programme last year called the National Citizen Service, and we helped out at the Trinity Centre through that, which is how we heard about this. We actually had quite a good night's sleep and were only woken up by one of the marshals telling us people were leaving." Miss Benton, also 16 and from Southampton, said, "This is something really worthwhile, which people should get involved with because it raises money for a really good cause." And it is accompanied by a photo of Georgia Benton and Nina Jones cuddled up in their sleeping bags in the big cardboard box they've decorated with flags and stickers, and holding their teddy with his first prize badge for their cardboard box.
Council warns on financial squeeze. £6 million shortage expected due to Whitehall cuts. Civic chiefs have warned the City Council could face a budget shortfall of almost £6 million in 5 years. Finance boss Stephen Godfrey said a reduction in government grants would soon tighten council purse strings further. Speaking at a scrutiny committee meeting on Monday, he said, "We have many financial challenges. There are going to be further reductions in financing from central government of around 10% per annum for the foreseeable future. Over a five-year period, it will be necessary to make significant savings while creating some headroom for new or expanded requirements." The council expects reductions in new homes bonus grants and could lose it altogether, while council tax support will also decrease. Some councillors called for a review of services to see what could be spared to save money. Councillor Simon Cook said, "If we have such a deficit coming, does that not imply that we should be cutting some things that we do in some ways? There comes a time when somebody has to say we can no longer do this. We are simply going to have to talk to other local authorities about working in cooperation, about operating services in other ways." Council leader Keith Wood said one way the council was trying to reduce the shortfall was to make the most of its assets, such as land in the Carfax area near the railway station, which could be developed. He said, "There's a lot of commercial confidentiality around this, but as we look ahead, we can see there's great shortfall in revenue. So our policy is to try and provide significant income from assets, so any reduction in grants is tempered by that increase. We cannot match it all, but we are doing what we can."
My story is headed Homes Scheme for the Elderly in Town. A developer is to submit plans for a development for the elderly in Bishop's Waltham. McCarthy and Stone's proposals feature 35 retirement apartments and three cottages on a brownfield site at Travers Yard on Coppice Hill in the town. This follows a public exhibition of its proposals last month for residents and local businesses. The company said the majority of the feedback received to date supported, in principle, the redevelopment of the site in this way. It said feedback indicated that residents feel it would offer a good use of the site and that there was a need for this form of housing within Bishop's Waltham. McCarthy and Stone said its design aimed to give an impression of a large country house with a number of associated outbuildings, such as a gatekeeper's cottage and stable blocks. It has also addressed the site's landscaping, is looking to introduce manicured lawns, a rose and herb garden, and is also looking at the possibility of reinstating the pond to the southwest of the site. Plans should be submitted to Winchester City Council within the next few weeks. Jane Paul, McCarthy and Stone's regional managing director, said it's our aim to transform this site with a signature development, which will feature a high-quality design to complement the character of Bishop's Waltham.
And now we have rubbish trucks clogging streets, concern over access for emergency vehicles. Emergency vehicles, including ambulances, are being hampered by a profusion of rubbish trucks clogging up Bishop's Waltham, it has been claimed. City Councillor Colin Chamberlain took the matter up at the last meeting of Bishop's Waltham Parish Council. He said, "We have umpteen commercial dust carts coming in and out of the town. The other day an ambulance was held up. It was held up for several minutes with its blue lights flashing, but the driver did not even know it was there. You've now got three or four different contractors coming in every day, and it's becoming a serious issue. The problem arises because commercial waste is the individual responsibility of companies and not the council, meaning there is little or no coordination, resulting in multiple contractors and dust carts using the narrow cobbled streets of the market town." Councillor Chamberlain mooted the idea that businesses could emulate those in Winchester by cooperating on the collection of waste. The shared costs could result in significant savings, he argued. But Councillor Steve Miller, chairman of the town's Chamber of Trade, said it was something the parish could investigate, but warned that some of the shops here are national chains and will have their own contracts in place they can't change. The spokesman for the South Central Ambulance Service said, "Sometimes the size of vehicles can be an issue on narrow streets, but our staff are highly trained and these are issues they encounter on a daily basis. It is nice, though, when other road users acknowledge our vehicles and allow us to pass safely."
A group says it's time for Guildhall to cash in. Winchester Guildhall could be set for major changes to increase its commercial potential, a meeting heard. A council independent scrutiny group recommended several changes to make it a more attractive venue. These included offering car parking for major events, opening the Wintonian Room Bar to the public at lunch, advertising events with temporary banners, and extending its catering service for 3 more years. Councillor Jamie Scott, who chaired the group, said the future as a venue was bright after years of underperforming. He said, "We look back on some of the issues that caused the Guildhall to spiral and looked at moving it forward and analysed the clear market for conferences, weddings, parties and school and college proms. A lot of weddings are being booked there in the next year or two, so things are looking up. We've had new markets such as boxing earlier this year, and that is giving a real sparkle to the building." Council Head of Estates Kevin Warren added poor catering was a problem in the past decade, but that new contractors had been hired with lots of expertise. He added, "The bar has been successful and this year we have a surplus of £23,000 over our target, while catering is £7,000 above target. This is a result of having staff who are very adept and experienced and have been brought in from the private sector." The Guildhall is currently taking bookings 2 years in advance, and Mr. Warren revealed negotiations were ongoing with a major promoter over a darts tournament. Councillor Robert Sanders raised concerns over repeating past mistakes and said he had heard similar claims before. He said, "We've had 4 years of losses, but you're saying we've had the right staff now, and that's what we heard 4 years ago." But Councillor Scott said the ISG had thoroughly investigated the problems. He said, "We grilled officers and were satisfied that the ship has been turned around and is now going in the right direction." The recommendations will now go to Cabinet for approval.
A short item about an event that may be of interest. Workshops target dementia carers. Oxford-based care provider Home Instead is running two free dementia workshops on October the 5th and 12th at Chandler's Ford Methodist Church from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. They're for people who care for a parent or relative with Alzheimer's or other dementias and will include techniques to manage behaviours and activities to encourage engagement.
And the Farmers Market celebrates the Hampshire Hog. Winchester is to celebrate the Great Hampshire Hog at the city's Farmers Market this Sunday, September the 29th. The market will have hog-themed competitions for children, as well as the thrills of piglet racing. Pork producers will present award-winning produce at a taster session to give the opportunity for visitors to vote for their favourite sausage. The day will be the centrepiece of the Hampshire Market celebration for the British Food Fortnight, which runs from September the 21st to October the 6th, to promote seasonal homegrown foods and encourage shoppers to buy local. The market will also be bursting with seasonal produce, including freshly picked plums, blackberries, apples, and new season game, as well as many other seasonal offerings. The Winchester Farmers Market runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And there's a nice story about a new head taking the helm at Hiltonbury. Hiltonbury Junior School in Chandler's Ford have just welcomed their new head teacher, Sam Hunter. The school, which has been rated as outstanding by Ofsted since 2008, is excited about this new phase of its journey. Mrs. Hunter, who has come from Halterworth Primary School in Romsey, said, "I'm delighted to be part of this dedicated and enthusiastic learning community. My aim is that every child will flourish during their time at this school, and that they will become passionate about learning and have fun along the way." And she's pictured with the youngest and oldest boys and girls, Elizabeth Rogers, Tyler Millard, Sarah Tallett and Jack Hall, who represent the 393 pupils on roll.
And another story about children having a good time. Circus capers come to school. Hairstock Primary School children were treated to an afternoon extravaganza last Wednesday when Happy Circus came to town. With a big top up, red wig-clad clowns and artists performed magic tricks to scores of children and their parents, all to raise funds to replace the infants' playground equipment. Event organiser, parent helper and member of the PTA Ayala Gordon said, "The children had a great time, experiencing tricks of the trade including stilt walking and unicycling. I went to see the Happy Circus ages ago and I thought they'd be great at the school," she said. "It was quite amazing." The circus gave way to the winners of the Hairstock's Got Talent competition. Josie Ann Ingram from Year 6, who sang My Guy, and the Winchester Wildcats, who performed a street dance cheerleader act. Jackie Sankey, head teacher at Hairstock Primary School, said, "The children have had so much fun with events leading up to the circus, especially with the students from the University of Winchester, learning new skills such as plate spinning and juggling. The homework tasks over the summer holidays really caught the children's imagination and their creative results were fantastic." And there's lots of lovely, colourful photographs of people wearing fright wigs, a ringmaster in a red coat, and children generally smiling and looking extremely happy.
And this is news of firefighters stemming a leak at the hospital. Quick-thinking firefighters stopped a flood at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital last week. A leak sprung in the boiler room of Nightingale Wing at around 2 a.m. on Saturday. Two appliances attended from Winchester Fire Station, quickly building a makeshift dam to collect the water. Crew manager Vince Barnes said, "There was an issue with the boiler room on the roof, but the flooding was contained to corridors, and fortunately there was no need to evacuate any patients. The flooding was serious enough for us to set up a dam in the lower ground floor to catch all the water. It was an improvised thing, using ladders and sheets. Meanwhile, the leak was isolated fairly rapidly, so we were only out there for around an hour and a half. Crew manager Barnes added there was no serious damage caused by the water.
A Winchester charity has appointed a new chairman. David Holmes has taken over the role at Naomi House and Jack's Place Hospices from Professor Khalid Aziz, after the latter stepped down at its AGM last Tuesday night. Professor Aziz has led the Sutton Scotney-based charity for more than 15 years and has now been made life president. Mr. Holmes is also chief executive of Family Action, a charity that works with 45,000 underprivileged families and children nationally.
And more charity news. Pig Race Night for Cancer Charity. The Winchester Club is holding a charity pig race night tomorrow. That's today, I guess, at the club in Worthy Lane in aid of prostate cancer charities. The first race will be at 8 p.m. Hot food, doesn't say whether that'll be pork, will be available and non-members are welcome with no charge for admission.
And cash to be diverted. Councillors in Bishop's Waltham want to reallocate cash awarded under the planning agreement for a Sainsbury's superstore. The arrangement, struck when securing permission, saw Sainsbury's agree a total of £55,000 for nature trail improvements and the Bishop's Waltham to Botley cycle path. But council bosses now want £10,000 awarded to the nature trail, as it requires little funding, and £45,000 towards the cycle trail towards Botley, rather than £35,000 to the nature trail and £20,000 to the cycle path. Councillor Robert Shields said he had an informal agreement from the interested parties, including Hampshire County Council, and that providing Sainsbury's is in agreement, the changes should be a formality.
Students at Barton Peveril College welcomed a Nobel Prize-winning scientist last Friday. Biochemist Sir Tim Hunt visited the Eastleigh College to give the 2013 Aspire Science lecture, encouraging students to have fun making the great discoveries of their generation. Earlier, he officially opened the college's £4.2 million environmentally friendly Nobel building, which will be home to the psychology, maths and computer science departments.
And good news for fans of the Watercress Line. A grant for Watercress Line bridge repairs. The Watercress Line at Alresford has been granted £75,000 for crucial bridge repairs. County Council leader Roy Perry approved the grant for the Mid-Hants Railway that runs from Alresford to Alton. The money will repair the Boyneswood Road Bridge near Fourmarks, which needs major repairs estimated at £100,000 to the arch bridgework.
Well, thank you everyone. That concludes the Hampshire Chronicle Extracts for this week. A reminder again that Lynn Parker is the person to call if you have any problems with your recording. Her number again is 01962 862 826. Many thanks to our editors, Kate Butler, Irene Dowding and Bill Argles. Thanks also to the copying and dispatch and memory stick preparation teams. And thank you to our readers, Jane.
Goodbye.
Noel.
Goodbye.
And Richard.
Goodbye.
And from me, Peter, goodbye, and do have an enjoyable week. When you've finished with this week's recording, would you please put the memory stick in the wallet and return it to us as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. Thank you and goodbye. Thank you.